Uncomfortable, warm, cold, adjusted.
Okay. Oh, boy, we have an echo. That's great. All right. Good evening, everyone. We're going to call the meeting to order. It is 6:30, February 28th, and we have a full board present. I'll start off with my comments, and it really doesn't matter which order, so I've got the first one down here is about bathrooms. I think most of you know that I have all the both bathrooms open right now. The electricians have 90% of their work done. What they're working on is they were having a couple of problems for the sensors. It's not going to stop us from using the restrooms. But all the lighting, the fans, and they are going to add two more fans, by the way. The ones that were put in an error by Ruben that did not have lights over the ladies' toilets have been replaced with good lighted fans. And I've taken those two new fans they put in since they were good, and we own them, over the sink. So now we will have not only two, which we had none, we'll have three fans in there. And I do ask you that you pass along to everybody, please do not prop open the doors, please, because that brings in the bugs. You know, they love to come in with the lights. We do have plenty of ventilation now. That was the reason in the past to keep the doors open because there was no airflow. But we're going to have, we have two fans. We're going to have three. I would really, really appreciate it if people did not prop open the doors in the future. They're going to come back as soon as they have the parts and do the sensors. But again, that won't in any way stop us from using the restrooms. And since Ruben has refused to give us our inventory at this point, because they're negotiating a position saying we owe them more than we do, it's going back and forth between our attorney, Deborah, and their attorney. And she sent out a pretty strong letter at my direction yesterday, and they have until tomorrow to respond because they're in a very bad situation, honestly. And I'll just hit it briefly because we got too much to do. But the bottom line is, we have now have proof in front of me that they showed up here in the week of the 19th through the 23rd of December and removed inventory that we bought and paid for and we own. The gate registry shows them coming in to the gate that day, and they did no work. No work was done. From the time Mark and I met with them on the 16th of December, not a thing was ever done after that, and yet they found time to come and remove our inventory. And when challenged by one of the workers, they told him, well, some of these aren't paid for. We're taking them back to our location. And everything was paid for. So that puts them in a very, very bad situation if they want to get smart to them. So we're going to move forward. But in the meantime, thank God, you're able to use the restrooms. They're not perfect. They're not done. But they are serviceable. Excuse me. As soon as I get the material, I have a tile man and I have a carpenter who's the permit of record that's hanging up to finish everything up. And it won't take long once I have the materials. So that's the bathrooms. Tennis courts. We had two bids. One of the bidders was a bad actor. Plenty of court cases. We dismissed that bidder and felt one was not enough. I got another bidder who came in, and the board, Patty especially, has been reviewing the bid, both bids now, very similar in dollars pretty much, except one had the fence in it and one didn't. So I'm waiting for a fence quote on the second bidder so we can see how close it is in the total. But both are doing, you know, what is expected, will do what is needed, and have good track records and references. So we're going to continue to vet them. But the last thing I want to do is push forward in a hurry and end up with another Ruben issue. I don't want to see this kind of nonsense. We deserve better in the Meadows. We deserve good contractors that do good work. And in the meantime, you can use the pickleball and tennis. We're not inconveniencing anybody, and that's the way I want to keep it. So it will be a little longer before we start breaking ground. Plus, since they haven't demolitioned the men's room on what they're going to do, I don't want to have two sets of dumpsters out there in the parking lot. So we will get to it. It is coming along. It is going to be well below the figures that were assumed when the assessments were done, somewhere in the neighborhood of around $215,000 with the tennis courts, the four pickleball courts, and the fencing, We don't have any price on lighting yet, but it's not going to be astronomical. It's just putting in new heads on the poles. So that is where we are on them, and we will move at judiciously forward at the proper time when we have everything lined up and the board has been able to review, everybody's been able to review the bids, and it looks like we're going to choose someone.
Do they have about how long it'll take once they start?
Once they start working, I haven't gotten a timeline from them, but I will ask that. They're the kind of things we will get. We need to know.
Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. All right, next thing, covenants enforcement officer. David really wanted to come back, but unfortunately David suffered some personal issues. He thought he could overcome them in a couple weeks and come back, but that's not working out. So we are on the hunt again for a person for that position. And we will do all we can to make that position filled as soon as possible. Obviously, there are people who are taking advantage of that, but that's to be expected. That's why we're doing this in the first place. To get someone in, we will just keep an eye on things and make sure that people play by the rules. They're rules. You knew them when you moved in. They knew them when they moved in. And you can't just say the community adapts to me. No. The people who move in have to adapt to the community. This is the way it works. I went through this in the last neighborhood I was president. It just really irks me when people think they love it, they come here, but I'm going to change it. How's that work out? Not very well. But we're going to get someone. We're working on it. I did mention the lighting for the tennis courts. We're working on that. Mark and I are going to have a meeting with someone soon to talk about possible fixtures. Another thing that's bothering me is FPL has not gotten to that light on Waterfall. People think it's our responsibility, but the light on the street at Waterfall, right south of the pool entrance, the main entrance, is an FPL light, correct, Lois?
Yes, it is.
Right, and you have submitted to them, right, Lois?
Submitted it more than once.
More than once. So we are angry, okay, but we're not responsible. We can't make FPL move, but there are people going around and putting things online saying that we don't care and we're not being attentive. But Lois has reported it more than once, so we don't need to belabor that point.
There's a number that we can call because we had a similar issue in Lake Mama, one of the posts was it was full mold and falling apart and it was a hazard. We submitted the report and then waited and nothing and then submitted it again, waited, nothing. And then we called you people. I think Dee helped me to call. And then we actually got them to come out within like less.
If you know a number and you, I mean, as a your vice president there, boss, go for it. If you know somebody you can call, we would love to get people happy with that light because I go up there every night on the old bike and it's dark and it's not good. People, I don't blame people. I don't like it, but it is what it is and it's not our thing. So yeah, Yuri, if you can do anything about that, that would be much, much appreciated. And, in general, I think overall people have to understand something. This meeting format is really nice tonight. People are seem to be all good here and we're all fine. The last meeting to me was very upsetting. And as I told everybody when I took the first day at this job, that won't happen. It's not going to happen. The meetings aren't going to go that way. And yet I was defied at the last meeting because of an issue that really has no teeth at all, the basketball court. It has no teeth. It has nothing. It was a dream of mine that may come true someday, and it may never even get traction. That's another issue because I'm asked for a full community vote on it. It's the only way it'll ever go anywhere, and no money has ever been spent on it. But people were hell-bent at that meeting to make a commotion and be angry. And that bothered me more than the issue or anything else. So I consulted with our attorney, and I just want everybody to understand something. She told me there's remedies for this. If a bad actor is at a meeting and causes a disturbance and will not quiet down, will not stop talking over people, they will get a letter, the same as you having an illegal truck in your driveway or anything else. And if they continue through the night more than once, they get a fine. I don't care to do this. But if anybody pulls that again at a meeting, I will absolutely have them get a letter. And if they do not quiet down by any time we tell them that, the second time, they will get a fine. and I'm not going to put up with it. I treat every one of you with respect. I think you know that. All you have to do is talk to me, and you know that. I will not be disrespected, nor will this be bored, or any of you. If somebody disrespects you, I would be very upset, because you're the members that pay, just like us. We're all neighbors. We're not. There's no ruling class here. There's people that have time and volunteer, but there's no ruling class. Dee.
Joe, you're talking about getting a letter, and then at the same meeting?
Yeah, if they continue without...
And a fine.
Yeah, they can get a fine. If they continue after, it's just like getting a letter at the house, and they don't do it, they don't comply, move the truck in the garage, whatever, and you send a second letter. But if at the meeting you ask them, please, please, don't be disorderly, and continue and continue, continue, that's the same as the second letter, because they're right here. It's not like they didn't get it.
But there's usually a seven-day period between letters.
Because they have to have time to process it. If they're sitting, there's no time to process it. You can, we'll clarify it with Deborah, but that's what she told me, if they continue. But I'm hoping that we don't really have to go back and forth on this, because I think that if we all respect each other, there's no reason to. I don't understand why anybody would want to disrespect us or you.
Joe,
go ahead, Neil.
I think it's important to listen to everyone.
Yes.
You know, like, hey, it's everyone's community here, so listening to the people of your community, that's a strong thing that has to get done.
Well, Neil, you'll never find a meeting. You can never find a meeting where I wouldn't listen to anybody. I did. Until they got unruly, then I may have stopped it. But if four meetings were perfect, 140 people at the church, not one time did I not listen to somebody. In fact, I got criticism because some people talk too long, okay? The only time you'll find me losing my cool is if people start it. If they start getting out of order, then it goes bad. But there's not a person in this community that can ever say they came to me and wanted to talk to me and ask any question that I wouldn't answer and stop and talk to them. Anything I could do, I would do. I mean, I'm up at all hours of night, to Mark will tell you, working on the pool, doing this, throwing drunk kids out of the pool at night and so forth. I care about my community, but I will not put up with people that want to disrespect this board. I will respect everybody in this community, and I'll listen to everybody in this community. All right, I don't want to belabor this. We've talked about it. Everybody knows where we are. Just want to get that out there. The next thing coming up, Mark, there you go. You can follow that.
Okay. I'm going to try to make this quick because I know we've got a long agenda, but I did want to make the board aware of a few things noted on my manager's report. For those who don't know, and I do appreciate the patience, and some of you here are pool people, we had some significant repairs, five repairs for leak damage in the pool area, and we had to take concrete up and make the...
Oh, sorry.
Did we miss something? You want to go back?
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry,
sure.
Mark. The approval of minutes. Sorry. Thank you, Lois. I was getting emotional. Okay, I need everybody to give any comments or any problems with the minutes. Anything? Then I need a motion, if you will, to approve the minutes. When you're ready.
Okay. I make a motion to approve January 31st minutes.
I need one. Care to second?
I will second.
Okay. Can I get a vote? Show of hands. Approval of the minutes. Okay. All right. Minutes are approved. Thank you, Lois, for keeping me straight. Hold on.
All right. Back to me. Okay. To the pool leaks. We had to shut down the pool for about 4 or 5 days to make repairs underneath the concrete deck. And I just want to clarify, this had nothing to do with the new filtration system that we installed a couple of years ago. This is underneath the concrete slab. What happens is those pipe fittings are 30, 35 years old. The glue on the joints becomes somewhat brittle, and then repairs are needed. So it was a little bit of an issue trying to locate some of them, and if you were to go out to the pool right now, you would see some areas of concrete color where we had to actually cut down in, and fortunately, most of the repairs we did ourselves. Greg is very good at making repairs with PVC piping, and so I think we probably saved quite a bit of money by making those repairs ourselves. So, and don't be surprised that we're going to continue to have these occur. As I said, the pool is 35 years old, and we'll deal with them as they come come forward. We became aware of a situation in Lakemont with some dryer vents. The dryer vents in Lakemont are located on the roof of the two-story buildings. And the instructions in the process for during the roof replacement was those vents were to be replaced. The screening was to be removed, and they were to have a louvered vent in them to keep animals and other things coming out from coming into the unit. We got some reports that some of these vents were clogged and not working right. So I sent Ernesto up there, and sure enough, we found a number of them where the screens, the wire mesh, had been left in the unit, and there was some where there was an inch and a half of lint that was built up behind that screen. So it became an unsafe situation. So the next day, I had our maintenance crew go and remove all of the screens, and there were 73, I believe, screens that had not been removed, and had them clean out the vents on the roof side of it. Those ones that had the screens did not have the louvered vent in it. So I notified Total Roofing that they needed to do a retrofit, which was not part of what they had originally proposed and that we had agreed to that they do on those roofs. I spoke with the office this morning, and they're going to coordinate and provide a schedule as to how they'll address those vents and installing the louvers. But at least we've got the safety issue with regard to the lint blockage taken care of. And I think Yuri's actually got a meeting coming up with someone about vents, or has that already taken place?
Yeah,
took place. So anyway, it is an important safety issue. The other units within the Meadows don't have that type of vent, so it's not a concern. Now, yes, you should check out your dryer vents. It's an important thing to do, but it's a little more complex with the two-story units over in Lakemont. The board had asked that we have our gate entry system evaluated and looked at by our gate arm or our gate people that maintain our gate system for the community. We had them out here. They felt that most of the equipment that we have is in fairly decent shape for the age. There was one component that had to be replaced. And I have not had in the last month or so had any comments or feedback on people having difficulty entering from that side. Not to say that I just may not have heard of it, okay. All right. I'll see if there's any other kind of issues with that. But we did have it inspected, and everything appears to be at least currently in working order. Just a thing that I want to put on the radar for the board, one of the responsibilities that is not covered by the Postal Service, you think the mailboxes out there are owned by the post office. They're not. They're owned by the association. Something that we need to consider, the treasurer needs to consider going forward in the future, is setting aside some reserve funds to replace mailboxes. We've been, a few of them, we've been band-aiding together, and a lot of them don't look so nice. This has been brought up before in previous boards, but we need to start really thinking about it as the condition of those is getting pretty poor. So next year's budget, we may want to set some funds aside. Also working on a couple ideas. Right now, again, they're just ideas about creating some shade over at the pool area at very little cost. We've been working with the auditor this month. The audit should be complete about in about a week or two.
Once we get the draft of the audit, we will schedule a meeting with the Finance Committee and with the board, myself, and perhaps the bookkeeper to review the end of year 2022 audit. And I will be scheduling and speaking with you on the date for that particular meeting. And then very shortly, we're beginning going to be working on the audit preparation or the workers' comp audit preparation as well. I think I've taken enough time. Are there any questions about any of the items on here or anything we didn't cover on the manager's report?
On here?
Yes. I didn't cover it. Scheduled for a fire and bait application this month.
Okay.
When are they going to look at the sprinklers again? Because there's a lot in Lakeland that are not working, like a lot. I tried to start taking pictures and sending. It was too many.
By not working, are they irrigation heads off? Are there? What's the situation?
So I don't obviously like my forte is not sprinklers, so I don't know the terminology. But there's just one of them is only. Like the water goes from here to here and then all into the street. Most of them are just going straight into the street, or the parking spaces are not really covering any grass area. Some of them are they're just there maybe sprinkling five little things of water and then that's it.
Okay, what I will do is I'll get with Greg tomorrow and see when the next Lakemont inspection is. Typically we do a once a month inspection throughout the entire community. I did have the guys. Okay, so yeah, so we may have some of those addressed here soon, but I will follow up with them and make sure we get an inspection in Lakemont. And just in the irrigation defense here, we had them for about 4 or 5 days working on the pool repairs, so things did get a little bit delayed, but I will follow up with them on that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of areas in Lakemont that are like grass is dying and it's really dry because
I'll check with him on the schedule. Thank you.
Okay. You good?
I'm good.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
It's Florence. My name is Steve Years, by the way. The gate entry system. Just today, I was behind another person that was trying to get through. They have to back up, and the monitor has to reread their barcode, and it happens on my husband's car, not on mine. So I'm wondering if we need to start replacing those barcode stickers on our back.
More often than not, what's happening now is if it's an aged barcode, that can typically be a problem. If you have a problem with that, we do not charge for a replacement barcode. But I would... If it's you said it was your vehicle or your husband's vehicle?
My husband.
Okay, what
I would do,
the first thing I would do is tell whoever it's happening to, either your husband or any of your neighbors that it may be happening to, stop by the office. We can take a look at the barcode and we can, we can determine whether or not it's something more than likely what's causing the problem.
We replace barcodes every day.
Yeah.
At MDPLA. Some of them are 5, 6, 7 years old, faded, and they don't read well. I don't care.
Especially if a car's sitting outside all the time.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of reader you got sitting out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's no cost.
Yeah.
Just call, make an appointment, go up there.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, sure.
Do you want to let the community know that?
Yeah, can we do an email blast, right?
Yeah.
Let everybody know, if they're having a problem, just come by the office and get their sticker inspected.
Yeah, all right. We can do that.
Patty, did you say you were going to
report on number 5?
Treasurer's report?
No. It was a CD.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. It's yours.
You got that.
There you go.
Okay, CDs and investments. Last month we said that we were going to purchase $185,000 for our insurance savings fund and our insurance. And we did do that last month, and we got a rate of 4.7%, which is really good. If anybody has money to invest, the rates are really good right now. We also took $200,000 out of our reserve savings account and put into a CD so that we kept our balance at a reasonable level. And that one was at 4.85%. So those are both really good. Other CDs, we have three of them coming due in March. Two of them will be rolled over. One will be probably partially rolled over. And so that's the investments to date. Financially, we have enough money in our operating and checking savings account to cover our expenses through the end of the quarter with a little cushion. Plus, we have our surplus cash in our operating CDs, and we have all of the money that we need in our reserves at this point in time. So I think we're doing well. And we are on a tight budget this year, so I really, really watch it because, as Mark knows and we've discussed, we don't have any leeway this year. We're on a tight budget. Delinquencies for the first quarter, we still have 11 people that have not paid their assessments at all, and which is 1%, which is not horrible. We have 11 people. And we have 14 more that owe a partial amount of money. Other than that, we're in completely good shape with that, which out of 832 people is pretty good. Okay. So financially, we're pretty sound at this point in time. Special assessment money, I have the report updated on that. We have spent some more money on the pool bathrooms, but we still have $36,270 left. And so the potential expenses that we're thinking about are about $18,000, so we should still have plenty of money left in that fund. Tennis court money, we still have $358,000 sitting there. Part of that is in the CD as well. So we're ready for that. So special assessments are also in good shape. And I believe, and also with those CDs, I have to tell you, there's some good interest coming back into our reserve accounts because that is going to make some decent interest this year, so that's going to be a good source of income. And that's all I have on reserve investments and CDs.
Thank you, Dick. Okay, next up we have Covenants Committee report. Is Kyle here?
No, she's not here tonight.
Oh.
But I think there was only one violation at the last meeting. We have the minutes, and I believe that they just approved it. I can look in the meeting, the minutes, to see, but I believe it's just approved.
It was a violation?
Yes.
Hold on.
Okay.
It was whatever violation, whatever fine was issued by the board was approved at the covenants meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was just the,
yeah.
The last
going forward.
Yes.
It's
okay.
Right.
So we don't need to, we don't really need to take any action on that.
Nope.
Okay. Art committee report. Melanie?
The minutes are in there, and
Excuse me, 1 second, Melanie. Is that working?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Why don't you come up here and you can be loud like me.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
The minutes are in there. We're continuing to get a lot of change requests, and a lot of impact windows are being done. We're ramping up the violations only because they're just happening too often. So I think between Joe and I and other people reporting in of different things, and they're not, some people might think they're minor, but it's they're in the guidelines. So we need to enforce the guidelines and change anything. Or if they want to suggest changing anything, being members, homeowners, then they can certainly suggest that. Decorations are out there for St. Patty's Day, and there'll be Easter pretty soon. They're allowed. So, if you see them.
Can you define, Melanie, it's so many days before and so many days after?
Yeah, maybe Lois can help me on that.
Yeah.
Is it 10?
10 days.
10 days before and 5 after.
5 after, okay. Just so everybody knows, so we can.
Yeah, I mean, we see Christmas decorations up there.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that.
Yeah, but it's more like people putting out trash cans on a Saturday when there's Monday collection, and it's not really considerate of the rest of the members or the residents in the area. So, we're trying. I think I'm putting together, and it will have support approval to send out an email blast and something that's a little in the communications committee maybe. to make this to make this a little easier to understand the ARC guidelines. They don't necessarily have to go to the office and look it up. They can always ask Lois and Jen or Mark, but something that makes it just an easy to understand.
Yeah, if you're trying to get information out, why don't you talk to Tim, see if he can help
in that way. And I've also thought of putting something here, just, you know, a nicer, you know, 8.5 by 11 sign. Not just a stick of paper that just has different, as they come in, that there's reminders, there's a meeting.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to fly, but something that will help this
move
along.
All right, thanks, Melanie. Speaking of Tim Myers, it's all yours.
All right, Communication Committee, we met last Thursday. Which is kind of off our schedule. Usually we meet the first Tuesday of every month, but we met last Tuesday really in anticipation of finalizing the newsletter that was sent out to the board today for their comments. We hope to get that to Lois in the office either tomorrow or Thursday to go to Terry by next week and then to be mailed out by the 15th. And then obviously... you know, this little gadget here is what we've been working on. We've been streaming on Facebook. We've got about 9 viewers right now.
Okay, great. Anything that helps? Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. That's okay. Not a problem. All right. Next up, we have quite a few covenants violations. Did everybody get their packet and see what these are? Have you had a chance to review them, folks? Look at them.
Just what's on the agenda, correct?
Yes.
That's all we have right here.
Actually, there's also one small addition, but I'll cover that after we get through these. We have V23, a vehicle blocking sidewalk on December 24th, warning letter January 3rd, second letter January 19th. This would be a $50 fine. There's been 2 letters. This is, are we going to vote on these one by one? I guess we have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Then I need a motion on D23. What's the pleasure of the board? Someone make a motion to what you feel. Do we go forward with the fine or?
So you said 1224, 119, and what's
It said 1224. And, January 3rd was the letter, warning letter. Wait a second. Vehicle sidewalk, December 24th, warning letter, January 3rd. Okay, because
right.
It was over the holidays. Right, okay. Second letter was January 19th. So there were 2 notifications. There was a notification, and then, you're talking 16 days later, still the same type of violation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'll make a motion to fine V23 $50.
Okay. I need a second.
I'll second it.
All those in favor, show of hands, in favor of the fine. Okay. It's unanimous. Okay. V24, pick up overnight, same address as V23. Very interesting. Several violations. Warning letter January 3rd, violated again on January 23rd. January 31st and 27. Wow, frequent flyer. Okay, we have fines would be $250. 50 for 123, 100 for 131, and 100 for 27. So, and apparently this is the same person who has been very flagrant, obviously.
Yeah. Did they get letters for each one of those?
Everything she has here on letters.
Those letters on 131 and 27 both tell them that they're going to get a $100 fine?
I don't know the language of the letter. What would that be?
We don't specify the amount or determines the fine.
Yeah. But they were told what was going on and they were ignoring their...
But this fines. Would be the first fine.
No,
they were...
But they
second
weren't...
Second and third.
But the board didn't meet the... levy the first fine, so now we're levying the first, second, and third fines all at the same time?
The criteria was there would be at least a 7-day between each notification because there was concern whether or not someone would be
you know, violating without knowing that they were violating. So based on the timeline of this criteria, each one would be a separate violation. The law and our governing documents specify that we can, the board can fine up to $100 per occurrence or per day for a violation. Our protocol has been first time after you've been received a warning letter, then it's a $50 fine, and then thereafter it would be a $100 fine per occurrence, unless it was preceding 6 months. There's a 6 month period of time that we would look back to see if any violations occurred. In other words, if nothing occurred.
Four violations here.
Yeah,
30 days basically.
Yeah, keep going without any doing anything to adjust their what they were doing. So
I think it's fair to say this individual knows the rules.
Oh yeah,
and knows that they were violating.
Yeah, I believe so.
Repeatedly, without question.
Yeah, yeah. I need a motion on this to go forward. The total fine would be $250.
I'll make that.
Okay, I need a second on the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, I need a vote on going forward with the fine for $250. All those in favor? Show of hands. We have five.
You've got somebody that's coming to their nose at the association.
I just think the rule is stupid. I've made it very clear. I know, I'm working on it.
It's the rule, Yuri. Okay. Anyway, it is passed. The fine is levied. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the count on the phone.
Yeah, the count was 5. Myself, Patty, and Tim Grant. 4. Okay, we have that done. V25, vehicle on sidewalk, January 23rd. First violation was November 7th. A warning letter was sent. So they've gotten two of these, one November 7th, one January 23rd. The fine would be $50. So obviously from November, they had plenty of time to figure out that you shouldn't do it. So I need a motion on this one for the fine for $50.
I'll make a motion to fine.
Can I second that motion?
You made that motion.
Yuri, second by Tim Graham.
I'm the same, but
all those in favor, show of hands. It is unanimous. Okay. Basketball not stored properly. Gee, I'll bet everybody in this room has seen that basketball court. Okay, this is the same. Was previously fined $100 for trash can violations, which actually sat out there for almost a year. This is an ongoing violation. The recorded covenants committee guidelines state after warning letter has been sent, $50 for second violation. $50 for second violation, levels? Or is that for the first?
I'm sorry, that's just the first.
First. $50 for the first, $100 for the second, and then what, $100 fine each day of a continuing violation or the same violation within a six-month period of time. First letter was set January 3rd, and I know there were several letters, correct?
I didn't put anything down here as far as the fines because I could not afford to hold up.
I get it.
It's an ongoing situation.
Yeah, this is something where they know and have habitually been someone who has just ignored. Like I said, I mean, you've all seen the blue and yellow can that sat there right out here as you came in the gate to the right all the time, and it just and ignored it. And now the basketball hoop was there for weeks since Christmas.
Is that one of the single-family homes?
Yes. Yeah.
The hoop and it's sitting. Where is it?
Was sitting right in the garage, right in the driveway for weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. Got letters, ignored it.
Can they mount it on their house?
No. You can't have a basketball hoop. It has to be put out to play and put in the garage at night. Yeah.
Or put in the backyard.
Yeah.
Behind the party fence.
Yeah. Again, these some people. Or in the middle of a pool parking lot, great place. But the point is, we're not debating whether the rules are perfect. All we're saying is they knew the rule, they ignored the rule, and these people have a history of ignoring rules. And then they ask for a waiver of the fine, which is, you know, ludicrous. But anyway, I need a motion on this.
All right. So
how much is the fine?
$50, no?
Well, this there's more than one letter, correct? Lois, we have like three letters to these people? Yeah, I would think this is a $100 fine because we've had many letters. I know I sent two of them.
Well, but I mean, there needs to be space between the letters.
Oh, yeah, there was. A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
January 3rd, January 25th, February 7th.
Thank you. Yeah, many letters spread apart. And it's not like they say, oh, we were going to put it away at 8 o'clock. I saw it at 1 o'clock in the morning, so okay, enough.
And I think the next, whatever the board determines for a fine, and again, the reason we didn't stipulate is because it has been a continuing violation. I think that whatever fine is established by the board, that once we send the next letter out advising them not only that the fine is X number of dollars, but that any a future fine could be as much as $100 per day.
I agree. They finally took it down.
Can I ask a question in person?
Yes.
So are they not allowed to have it out from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m.?
They're not allowed. It's supposed to be, my understanding, sunset. Can somebody help?
Well, they're using it, and if it's put away, well, they're not using if it's not being in use.
Yeah, and obviously their driveway has no lighting that's going to be basketball worthy. Plus, the best part is there's always three cars in the driveway. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, but we kind of have to look at it, even though they have three cars in the driveway. You know, the whole picture, which is so, what's the time limit on the basketball hoop being out?
Yeah, but my understanding is when you're done playing with it, like dusk, dark, whatever.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll let her look at that and see. But, you know, obviously 10 o'clock at night, they're not out there playing basketball.
It may not be the easiest, you know, if somebody's out playing basketball or something. They go
well, the funny thing is, I go by there every stinking night, and I haven't seen a basketball or anybody shoot a basketball. For the 2 months it was up, I saw no one shooting a basketball, not a single time. And we go in the gate, I go around the neighborhood. I mean, you know, not once. So what's the reasoning? Yes?
So I just set up my question.
Go ahead. Go for it.
So, for example, I don't know this family who has the basketball court out, right? I have no idea anything about it. But I'm wondering if the village representative has actually knocked on the door because they're...
That's me.
Okay, I just want to finish because what I have to say is very valid. I don't know if maybe there is a family who is suffering from an illness or a tragedy and maybe their team forgets to put something away. And we don't know that. So if we're just sending letters and there is an extenuating circumstance, is there someone who checks on them and says, hey, we've sent you letters. What's going on? Do you know? Are you getting the mail? Do you know this? Because we're making a lot of assumptions. And maybe not in that case, but maybe in another case. So I just want to make sure that
I appreciate your thoughts, but I'm not making a single assumption. I was told to go away when I went to the front door at one time in the past. And the house is owned by her mother next door.
Right.
So the point is, and they just say, oh, you know, go away.
Right. Yeah,
so obviously, obviously, you know, it's not a hardship. I'm the first one. I run a St. Vincent de Paul. I help people in hardship. But this is no hardship.
Okay.
This is just don't care what your rules are.
Okay.
Counts
and things like that.
Sunset. Adjourning at sunset. So that says it all. At sunset, it's supposed to be put away. And I thought it was that. I was pretty sure I read it. So, you know, 10, 11, 1 in the morning kind of covers it. But like I say, if this was just somebody out of the blue and it was one time, I'd be the first one to say, oh, you know, what the heck. But they just don't care about the rules. Mr. Bill.
I'm the one who's starting us to vote on this.
Oh, okay, glad.
I'm
said it enough.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And
make a motion to find the $100.
That confused me here.
What?
Okay, a letter was sent on the 3rd.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And then a letter back to
Cameron.
Yeah, she said another. On the
25th.
Two more after that. Two more. Three letters.
So why weren't they fined in between?
We didn't have a meeting.
Okay.
No meeting
thank
to
you.
Vote
yes.
on.
See? Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
But I say based on what we did with the V24, that the fine should be,
150,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If we're going to. Okay. Which they never did before.
Yeah.
All right. So then I need to vote on that V26.
It bites down.
Or to put a fine for $150. Can I get a motion on that?
Motion.
Bill makes a motion. Can I get a second?
I'll
second. Yuri seconds. Can I get a show of hands on this? We have unanimous on that. All right. We have blue lights in the coach lights, blue bulbs. Warning letter was sent January 18th to remove upon receipt of letter. As of January 26th, blue bulbs still in coach lights. They have been removed now, I do know that. But those were the two infractions, January 18th and January 26th. So,
they're gone now.
Yeah, they're gone now.
That
would be a $50 fine. The statement was it was in support of the police. Anyway.
Since they've already gone,
yeah.
I would say let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah. Okay. Can I get a motion?
A motion to
let it go. Can I get a second?
I second.
Bill? Oh, a bill second. Okay. All those in favor in letting it go?
Yeah.
That would be six. Ms. Yuri, thank you.
Listen, rules are rules.
Motion to waive.
They comply.
We're going to let that go.
Comply.
It's fine.
Okay. Repeat.
Be careful there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I think we should find.
It was 8 days difference, and it was the only time we ever saw the blue lights there, because it's, you know, nearby me. Yes, ma'am.
Would that not be considered selective enforcement?
You're talking, well, I guess that if you want to bring that up, it could be, but that's what the board is supposed to do, is mediate if people's intention was to violate, or was it something that it took them a little longer? It was only 8 days between the letters.
I don't think the board can understand somebody's intention.
Well, they can when they talk to them and they tell me, because
so
I did talk to them.
Violation
waived. What? No, I didn't talk to them and give them a violation waive. I didn't even have any of that conversation. They said they were sorry. They put them up for the police, and when they got the second letter, they realized that they had to take them down, so they took them down. So the board is showing compassion to a situation where someone wasn't being arbitrary and did comply and did not really think that they were doing anything really ostensibly wrong. They thought they were supporting the police, and maybe we thought it was a Christmas light. So it was a discussion. Not everything comes down to selective enforcement. You have to mediate and talk to people and find out what their intention was. We just talked about the fact that maybe somebody was sick and couldn't move a basketball court. So if they were sick and couldn't move it, we would then give them that reasoning and say, okay, this person apologized, said, I'm sorry, they're down. I just wanted to talk to somebody because I was trying to support the police. So, and it was 8 days and they were gone. So it is something that the board has discretionary discussion. I talk to the people. I can bring that to the board. And the board, obviously, six, decided that we could give them that leeway.
Well, and I think we just need to be careful because it is very valid that, like, we shouldn't be engaging in selective enforcement. But also, just because there's a cause, it doesn't particularly make it okay, because then we're going into, so if they support things that we support, then they get forgiven, and that's not something that we want to do. And I work with law enforcement. I love law enforcement. They're green in Warren County, but whatever. Just kidding. But, you know, it's still something that we need to not.
We normally give them 7 days, and they took 8. So that's what I looked at.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. It's not like they did it for weeks and weeks and weeks and then said it. And again, we use discretion.
Well, I have one other thought on that, because to that point, if we look back at this, for instance, the basketball hoop is gone, and even though it's now gone, we're still fining them $150. So they remedied the problem, but they're still getting a fine.
Well, yeah, but they ignored it for weeks, for 2 months.
Regardless.
Yeah. What if they move the pickup truck?
Regardless, it's been corrected, but they're getting a fine.
Yeah.
So these people have corrected it, but they're not getting a fine. I believe that there could be some validity.
We give 7 days. They took it.
And you're
the
talking
one
about
got 7 days and took a month and a half.
We can, 2 months, actually. We can split hairs from now until next day. The thing is, the people, habitual offenders, don't care about rules.
I get all that.
That you're not going to go around looking to give a leeway to someone who habitually breaks the rules and says, the hell with you. A person that thought they were within the realm, thought they were doing this for the right cause, once they were told, no, you can't do that, immediately complied. So I'm sorry, that was my feeling, that's how I presented it. So the board gave compassion. Yes, Melon?
I also feel that if we're going to be allowed to red lines, the green lines mean something, purple lines, I think I've heard. When somebody paints their their driveway a different color, a color that was improved, and I'm saying that you need to repaint it, it's the same situation. They didn't know, they weren't familiar, they didn't read the guidelines, and that does not really excuse them from following the guidelines. No matter what, I understand what her point, that she was afraid of police, and that's all well and good, but, you should be following the guidelines.
You should. And that's not my point. My point is we give them 7 days, and they happen to take 8. I'm not going to jump on it because there was one extra day. I don't care what their cause is.
Yeah, and I think that
doesn't matter what their cause is.
And I think that point is more valid, like the length of time that it took, than focusing on.
All right, we're laboring.
Did we was that a unanimous vote?
It was 6 to waive the fine. Yes. All right, repeat violation, trash cans not stored out of sight, the homeowner was fined.
There's a V28.
Oh, sorry, V28, unapproved occupant. Several requests for homeowner to provide background check information when background form was provided, social security number was not given, which is necessary, cannot run background check without it. Unapproved occupant remains in home as guest, son of owner. The gentleman, when I asked him about this, said that he got, at first he was very nice. The second time I asked him, he said his attorney told him he had 90 days. And I said, yes, but your father said when he was called, you were a permanent addition. You brought a pod and 3 cars. I don't think you're visiting for the weekend. So I'm sorry, but you are here and your father said you weren't leaving. It was witnessed, so I'm sorry. You are in violation, and you need to do all the paperwork as a resident, and that's where we are. He finally did provide his Social Security number eventually, but that was only because I said, hey, we'll let the lawyer get in touch with you. No problem. So this is a they've been sent, and there is a fine available up to $100 a day. So it's a question of where the board's pleasure is on this particular item as to what they want to do. Anybody have comments?
Yeah. How many letters have they gotten?
Yeah.
They've gotten personal visits and...
Well, there was a letter sent February 1st that he might be fined $100 a day. He's in compliance now because he did comply with that phone check was run.
When was that?
Ken is in this. She just got to get what marked this week.
Yep. Yeah.
So when did he bring in the information?
Friday.
He brought it in last Friday?
He brought it in, I believe, Thursday or Friday.
Yeah,
of last week.
Towards the end of last week.
About the 23rd, 24th?
Yeah, around the 23rd, he brought in his Social Security number finally.
Excuse me?
Yeah, give us just a second, though. The board's in the middle of this, then I'll certainly answer your question.
So this has gone on for how long?
He first came.
Good grief! When the heck was it, Lois?
He brought that pod in a few months, a couple months ago. It's been a while.
It's 3 weeks after he got the letter.
Yeah, he brought in a pod. He brought in 3 cars. You know, he's been here quite a while.
But it's 3 weeks since he got the letter.
Right.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
How long ago did he remedy it?
3 weeks.
It took 3 weeks after the letter for him to remedy it.
3 weeks from the.
Background's very serious.
I agree.
And I would suggest a $100 fine on this one.
Okay, make that motion, please.
I would like to, for the unapproved occupant on V28, fine him $100.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second from Neil. All those in favor? We have, it's unanimous. Okay.
Can we?
Hold on a second. Go ahead. I was going to answer her, but okay, go ahead.
I'd just like to add something. I know what, who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He works on his cars.
Yeah, he does in the garage.
In the garage and in the driveway.
Well, that I'd love a picture of.
Is that allowable?
No. No. Especially if they're unregistered vehicles, possibly not his vehicles. But we need a picture. See, I've gone by there dozens of times, and he's in the garage. And a lot of times the door's closed and the lights are on at 11, 12 o'clock at night,
so,
but he's in the garage.
You need a picture if he's
in the driveway.
Working on the vehicle.
Working on the vehicle. Yeah, jacked up. No, that's great. A picture of working on the vehicle. Because I warned him about that when he first moved in. I said, you told everybody you were going to work on cars. You're not going to work on them here. And so he needs to know that that's reinforced. But, yeah, if you get a picture, we're loving it. We're loving it. Okay. Yeah, it's in. He's at night. I go by there 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's in the garage with lights on, hoods up. But that's his business. I mean, hell, he can put them in his bedroom for all I care as long as they're not outside. Mr. Tim, you wanted to say something just now, and I cut you short a second while I answered her.
On second thought, I'll just.
Okay. All right. All right. V29. Repeat violator. Trash cans not stored out of sight. This homeowner was fined $50 by the board November 22nd, 2022, for the same violation. Fine has not been paid for that, and the fine this time would be $100.
Motion to fine them $100.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Yuri and second by Tim. Can I have a show of hands for the processing of $100 fine? Unanimous. Okay. $100. Yes, I'm sorry. String lights. Warning letter sent January 23rd to remove lights. Upon receipt of letter, as of January 31st, lights not removed. Note, February 7th, owner having tenants remove lights as of February 23rd, and they have been removed.
They removed them a while ago, though.
Yeah, it's been a little while now. We're into almost March 1st. They were removed probably about the 17th, 16th of February, 15th, somewhere in there. It's been a couple of weeks or so. Yeah, but the thing was, it was contagious. They had them on forever, and then the person opposite put them on. I'm going, you got to be kidding.
They were pretty.
They're going to have babies now. At least the house is going to have Christmas
lights. That was my daughter, and she got the litter, and she took them down.
Oh, really? Was that your daughter? You serious?
Across from the tenant.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
She owned that
unit there. Oh, jeez.
She said, oh, the renter guy across there got a letter, so I have to take mine down.
Yes. Yes. There
you go.
All right.
Can you
give me a address on that?
No, we can't. We're not allowed at the moment, but we're not allowed to give addresses.
I can see you every night to see the string lights. So I'm wondering if that's the same house.
Yeah, well, these are the icicle or something. I mean, just 1,000 lights on a screen.
It could be 48.
4,800. It was 4,800.
Christmas lights.
Okay. All right, so we have
Valentine's Day lights, or whatever holiday.
Well,
lights, January.
Valentine's Day lights.
Just so everyone knows, it's difficult for anybody to hear when there's multiple people.
Yes, correct. Sorry. Right. All right, we got that one with the trash string lights. Okay, so we're here at a point where it would be a $50 fine on the string lights where they had two letters. I need a motion.
I will motion. I'll support it, but I won't motion.
Okay, nobody said you have to. Neil makes a motion. We find second is Patty. Show of hands to impose the $50 fine. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Mr. Tim, are you out?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm asleep.
Okay. That's okay. String lights, $50 fine. V31, vehicle blocking sidewalk. Warning letter January 28th. On February 5th, another letter of vehicle blocking sidewalk. Fine would be $50. 28th of January and February 5th. So
I'll motion that.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion from Yuri to fine, Tim to second. I need a show of hands to, for the $50 fine. It's unanimous.
You know, Joe, just make a quick comment.
Yes, sir.
I've had a couple neighbors in Brighton say, why are y'all, the board, so hard on people parking on the sidewalk? I have a number of residents that are in wheelchairs and walkers and have to go out in the street to go around those cars. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's an issue.
Exactly. You're going to love this, Tim. See, a lot of people don't know. I won't send out a letter just automatically. If it's a reasonable time of night, I stop if I'm on an early ride, and I knock on the door. And one of your neighbors had a pickup truck covering the whole driveway in apron. And I said to him, I said, could you please move your pickup? I said, it's covering up, you know, and I would rather you just move it, okay? Oh, you're right. See, I take my mother out in the wheelchair every day, and here she's blocking the sidewalk. You can't make this stuff up. Right away, and the kid ran out and moved the pickup truck. You know, it happens, and I'd much rather stop and say something to somebody if it's early enough and let them not get a letter. You know, I'd rather do that any day. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, I fear I'll get shot if I knock on the door, so I'm not doing that. Okay, so vehicle blocking sidewalk, we did that. Park violation, plaque over door, V32, window boxes along side of the house. These items have been removed. Letter sent February 22nd, giving owner 10 days to repair paint areas where items were removed. Has this been complied with? Does anybody know?
Isn't there a longer history of letters than that?
I don't know.
It's just a longer issue. They did remove them.
Yeah.
But it left damage to the stucco and it needs to be painted.
The issue of well, the last inspection that I did, they had removed the I don't know what you call it, a fresco, sort of a standing out type of plaque that's on
plaque,
there.
Yeah.
And but as a result, I guess they had glued it on. They had the surface of the paint had been chipped off, so they had done that. We actually provided a little bit of paint to them. I have not checked to see if they've done the paint since the removal.
Well, I guess my question is, how long was the violation going on, and were there other letters?
Yeah.
Carol Tannenbaum had reported it some time ago.
Yeah, and I think there was probably one letter and one warning letter, and then saying, look, you know, so.
So they did get at least two letters.
Yeah. I believe that's the case.
Okay, so two letters, and it went on longer than 4, 5, 6 weeks?
Yes. Okay. Or I don't know if it went that long, but it was for a length of time.
I think the first time Carol.
How long was it?
It was first noticed right after Thanksgiving, they just took it down last week. Right?
So it was a long time.
But I don't. But even though it's been a long time, were they? How many letters did they get?
Because I don't
criteria
know that.
That we
I
go
believe
by.
There were two letters that were sent.
Okay.
I believe.
Any way we can
that
check that?
I will give them all my. I rely on Jen because she does.
The job. Oh, you're right. She does the violations.
Is
yeah.
this a Signal family home?
Yeah.
No.
It's a Capri. It's past. Well, you can't have a plaque over the door.
Oh, it's not a plaque. Remember, it's like it's a.
I was told a three-dimensional.
It's like an art. French chateau.
Fresco, whatever you know.
Decorative.
3D, three-dimensional.
Probably
plaque.
Probably
two by two,
3 by 2.
In front of the front door or behind
the
door?
Yes. Okay. Thank the you.
On, above it.
We're charging them to fix the what hit damage, right?
They're responsible to make the necessary repairs. I did provide them, since I have a little bit of the paint, to encourage that happening quickly.
So okay. Is it because of the size?
No, it's just they actually glued something to the
They're
side
not allowed
of the house.
To have.
They can't put plaques on the side of the house.
They're not allowed to have.
Well, from the front door.
It's not just a plaque.
It was before, that's my understanding.
Was that the front door? Right on the line.
We should be calling it an architectural element. That's what it is.
Yeah.
3 feet by.
It's quite large.
Two feet by 3 feet.
Yeah, it's a large piece that was physically attached to the exterior structure.
It's more of an architectural element. Flak really does a disservice.
Could we get, like, not for today, obviously, but, like, moving forward, could we get the pictures of the violation?
No. She's got them right there.
If you want to see them, but
I'm trying
to save paper.
But that also has...
Yeah, because it's a lot of ink.
Okay, so it is an architectural element.
It really is.
Okay. All right, well, then we need to decide if we're giving a $50 fine.
Your motion to fine.
I need a second.
I'll second.
Dee with the second. Show of hands, all those in favor of $50 fine for the architectural thing on the house. That's unanimous. Now, something else that I received just before the meeting here. We need a motion to approve deactivating the barcodes and fobs of the following violators if fines are not paid by March 20th, 2023. Violator identification, V16, $50 fine for trash cans not stored out of sight. They have not paid the fine for the period of time that would require deactivating their barcode and fob. RV7, well, do you want to do these individually?
You can do them all at once.
Okay.
All right,
because they're all...
It's all the same outcome.
Right. RV17, $200 fine, same owner as V16, trash cans not stored out of sight, two additional incidents. So, okay. RV18, $100 fine for pickup overnight in the street. Again, all of these were notified, and they never paid the fine. V20, $50, trash cans not stored out of sight. And V21, $50, vehicle parked overnight in the street. So all of these were fined, had letters sent, never responded or paid them, and they have until March 20th, or we are going to deactivate their barcodes and fobs of these violators. I need a motion on this. Notified many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
I'll motion to
send out a final notice.
They did. They've done all of this. Some of these are from November.
Yeah.
They're way back. In fact, it was wasn't it November, Lois?
December.
Yeah, so it was sometime after that. So anyway, they've all been notified and had fine letters and have ignored them. They've just ignored them.
And so after this meeting, they'll get a letter telling them that the board has voted to deactivate that system until March 20th.
Yeah.
Right, so they still get a chance to come pay the fine.
It's our way of getting
their attention. Okay.
Was there a second to that?
We didn't get a motion yet. I need a motion. Oh, you already made the motion to do it. Dee or Patty seconds it. I need a show of hands on to proceed with the activation. It's unanimous. Okay. Yes, ma'am. You certainly may.
Before you go forward.
Yes, sir.
May I have the floor just a second?
Here you go.
I need that.
You sure?
Uh-huh. In our last board meeting, we talked about our packages for new owners, renters, et cetera, coming in.
Yep.
And there was a lot of discussion about interviewing these folks.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share with the board that I have looked into these packages. They're very comprehensive. I've got a copy of them right here in front of me. If people would read these packages, because they have to sign it and say that they did read it,
mm-hmm.
we would have not had to go over the 10 or 12 violations that we had, or at least they would know they were in violation. These packages are very comprehensive.
Oh, yeah.
But it depends on the real estate person and the purchaser.
There's your problem.
Renter.
Nutshell.
Yeah. So I don't think we need to interview these people, but talking to Jennifer had a great idea, Jennifer in the office, that we might set up what we call an orientation committee or a welcoming committee and do that like once a month. And invite our new people to those. It's their option to come or not. But part of what we would do is review the rules and regulations and review stuff that they said they read and they agreed to.
I think it's
great. I encourage every board member to get you a copy of these packages and be familiar with it. I've lived here 12 years, and I learned a couple things reading these. So they're very comprehensive.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Can I add something to that?
Or go ahead.
We are committing. Tom is on our committee. And he also gave a great idea and calling it the orientation for people that rent here, that they go through a 15-20 minute orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So, all
these
are renting, but they're not passing on the rules.
So the renters.
So owners or renters.
The renters package is very similar to the owner and very comprehensive.
Right. So both the owners, the new owners, and the new lessee mm-hmm. should go through this orientation.
Yeah.
In talking to Jennifer, though, I think we should make it available once a month. We'd have to figure out who would run that.
Yeah.
But now, whether you can make it mandatory or not, I don't know.
Well, certainly encourage
doing it voluntary. You could expand on it. Coffee and donuts. Come on up and get an orientation. Go ahead.
I own a couple of rentals in Pine Ridge. It is mandatory. Mm-hmm. If I rent to a new tenant, mm-hmm. They cannot move in until they go through the orientation, okay? Because rentals, owners and renters, the owners I could see you do once a month or whatever, a welcoming committee. But for renters, it's mandatory that they cannot move in until they go through the orientation. There's one person who does it, and they make it a friendly orientation. It's not comprehensive, all these pages. I think they have a booklet, and it just browses through all the real important rules and so on and so forth, and if they have any questions and so on.
Right.
But it can be mandatory.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Also with Martin Downs community, can't we do the same thing?
I'm sorry?
Can't we do the same thing?
Sure.
Make it mandatory for renters?
Absolutely. Yeah. Something I share with the board, and I'll share with the audience, Joe asked me to do a little analysis of how many renters we had in each village, and I prepared a very simple report and gave it to them prior to the meeting. It was very interesting exercise. I did the same thing in July 2013, about a year after I moved here, and I started getting involved with the board. Our number of rental properties has decreased by 50% in the last 10 years.
What is that? Percentage of the
it's percent. 5.769%.
All right, just under 6.
You're welcome to a copy of the report. I'll give you a copy.
I like the idea of the mandatory for lessees because they seem to not care as much because they're not going to be here necessarily sometimes as long, but I think it's something we should consider. And still make it friendly, but like he said, it should be something because they are coming into our community, and I sign off on a lot of leases, and I think even though there's only 5.769%, I still seem to be signing them fairly often, so I'd like to see this come to be, and we need to decide how to do it, how to make this happen.
Yeah. Well, these packages are excellent.
Yeah.
I'm
going to get to you.
Literally 10 pages of rules.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, no, you have a great idea. We've got it. We got what you're going, and I agree with you 150%.
I don't think I can get anything from Pine Ridge as a model.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And get an idea anyway. Okay.
I think I have seen what they have.
Yeah. All right.
I don't
ma'am.
Know why we wouldn't do it for owners as well. Communication, information. You have all these people that we're getting fines that are getting fines.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
They never knew.
Yeah.
You're giving them too much credit.
If everybody is in agreement with that, I'm 100% on it. I'm trying not to be over the top, but I would agree with that. If everybody feels that way, I would vote
there's
for
a lot of
your second.
There's a lot of communities that do that for buyers. You won't get your estoppel letter from the community unless they
Yeah, I think
so it's
that
real simple to have them show up or at least get the phone call and talk for 20 minutes on the phone with you.
Yeah.
They do it in person or over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in person. I always like in-person meetings. I really do. And I think an orientation would be a great idea. I think that's something we need to formulate going in the near future.
Do we need to appoint a committee or put somebody on that?
I would think a board member could wrangle this together personally. I know a great guy that could handle this.
Somebody who started doing it already. I'm nominated.
I nominate Tim. Did I say that out loud?
Tim's plate is full.
Something the social committee... would this be something that the social committee would
want to
do?
Okay, we're getting noisy.
What are
you
trying? All right, we need obviously to tune this up somehow, so we'll talk about it, but I think it's important. You'll do it? All right.
You know, it's interesting from the last meeting to this meeting. The last meeting, I almost got run out of here because I mentioned that we should possibly interview these people before
you change.
Yeah, it's not interview, it's orientation.
No, the word changed.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Jennifer in the office.
Yeah, okay.
So we need a motion to appoint Janet Schiller, head of our orientation committee.
I'll motion it.
Oh, it would be an ad hoc position. It's not, something to
the
get
board's
rolling, and then it would just have a life of its own.
I would strongly encourage that Jennifer in the office.
Yeah, be part of that.
Be part of that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I agree. That's fine. Is she willing to?
We'll work.
Can you work with her during the day, Janet?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That's
one of my jobs that I do in my life.
All right. Then.
Perfect. Okay.
Then
we'll bring Jennifer
breakfast
one of these
days. All right. Do we want to create this ad hoc position today and get this rolling?
I think we should.
All right. I need a motion to create it and make Janet the person to handle it, and Yuri is making the motion. I need a second. Patty's making a second. All those in favor of having Janet be an ad hoc person for this committee to make orientation happen, and we have unanimous.
I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. I think it's a great idea. I thought it in the past, but I, like Tim, I didn't word it properly.
Well,
that stuff.
Yeah, and we as board members probably should rotate participating in those meetings.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
I can do weekends.
Yeah, I mean, I...
That I wouldn't do.
Yeah, no. Okay, all right. Well, then we'll do that. All right. So yes, okay, that's done. All right, next item here we have is request.
Thank you, Joe.
Appeals. Yes, sir. Do you have anything else, Tim?
No.
Okay. We have appeals. Request to waive late fees and interest. Homeowner moved in July 2022 and payment due October 1st was received on November 1st. I have something from the owner who is appealing this. We're writing to request the late fee notice on our most recent quarterly statement be waived as a one-time courtesy. My wife and I moved into Brighton in late July and have slowly but surely been figuring out how everything works around here. We love the community and so forth. We believe that our first quarter dues, which in our case would have been third quarter, may have been mistakenly charged these late fees. And that wasn't a mistake. Or we are unaware of the due dates for these at that time, which is what the case had to be. They brought it in November 1st. It was deposited November 2nd, normal course of business, and thought they were in time with their payment. So basically it was ignorance of the law, if you want to tell the cop you didn't see the speed limit sign. So I'm open.
Well, it's really only by one day because you have until the 31st to pay.
And how many, that's one of the strengths of our collections policy is that if it does go one day over, they get a fine. And that's why our collections are so good.
Have you seen that before?
You have you?
Yeah, there
I
were,
forget sometimes.
There were several of them. That, I mean, on the first day after they don't pay their fine, doesn't the letter go out?
Yeah.
But they paid in January?
Apparently they've played on time since, because they were apprised that it should have been October 1st, January 1st, and now it's going to be April.
If they had an orientation committee.
If they had an Janet had been around.
And keep in mind, it's due the 1st. We give them 30 days grace.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
So.
Keep in mind that the invoice clearly across the bottom in red, the color of Dee's dress, says when it's due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but when it's considered past due.
I think that if you, I kind of think that if you wait into the selective enforcement area, because a number of people, I'm sure, got letters on February 1st.
Yeah, every quarter there's...
Received it on the 5th.
Right.
All right, then. Anybody else on the board have any thoughts on this?
What's our collection policy?
Right.
The first day of delinquent. I'm paid on the last day of the month, which is the quarterly assessment.
Right, okay.
It's about October
31st. Right, they were late in the month. It is one day, but they had 30 days to do it after the 1st, so.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly they paid it on the 1st, so it seems like they did believe that it was going to be on the 1st of just the wrong month.
I'm not taking the blame on this one. Somebody else is going to have to make a motion. Well, I don't make motions anyway.
I mean, everyone else voted for like the one day over for the blue light.
Oh, jeez.
So, just fine.
This is an invoice.
You know, if we're going to do it for one day as well.
But this is an invoice that says the date and the... It says October 1st it was due.
This is like a mortgage payment, you know, kind of.
He would like give you grace, though, for like a few days or whatnot.
Well, he gave him 30 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's due on the
day. It's on the 1st.
Yeah, but they also have automatic payments when we don't, so.
All
right, we got it. We can't do this all night, folks. I need the flavor of the board. Where are we going here? I need a motion.
I make a motion to enforce the lease.
Enforce it?
Do I have a second on that?
I second.
All right, I need a show of hands on those. All approve the fine to be going forward.
Then you don't have to vote for it.
All right, we have six. Here is abstaining. Okay, we have a second appeal. Mr. Britton, 1591 Springfield.
Springfield,
yes.
Palm City, Florida.
Yes, sir.
4990. I have brought a couple pictures with me of the offending tree that we're talking about. We're talking about the removal of the swale tree. That's a tree that sits on the HOA property, if you want to call it, because it's not on the homeowner's part. It's outside. It's near the street. So I bought two pictures, one of my house, which is, you can't see this. I'll let you see it later. My house is on this side. Okay. There's the offending tree. And then this is a picture from across the street. So you can see my house and then the tree again. Okay. So I want you to take a look at these when you get a chance. I'll just leave them there, pass them around. I want to read a couple of denial letters that I have from the landscape committee. Sorry, turn my back to you.
Why don't you use the light
here? I was just going to say.
There you go.
So,
what was your request first, and then what's the
to name? Remove that tree?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The following reasons. Well, first of all, about sometime in July, August, one of my lovely neighbors approached my house from the left side and tripped on the raised sidewalk. The sidewalk was up, far enough that she fell, okay? I don't know if she hurt herself, but she's in the room right now. She wants to step up.
It was Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, Memorial Day weekend. Thank you. Okay. So I filed a request to have, at that time, the sidewalk or the tree removed because it's lifting up on the sidewalk. So when that happened, we reported the fall to Mark, property manager. He immediately came out with his people and attempted to adjust the sidewalk by sanding the aprons, which are the approach to the driveway, sanding those, adjusting the sidewalk. But the problem is,
and for me it's a problem. I can have the other one. The problem is, and you can confirm this, she tripped over here, on the right side, before my property. Okay? She tripped on the other owner's property. But we still called and said, hey, we got a problem. Please address it. All right, Mark sent his people out a couple days to really get it all together. And that was Memorial Day and around Memorial Day. And I filed a request to landscape people to say if I could get that tree removed, because in our area, Foxborough, a lot of the trees have been removed already for that reason. I got the response. My first response was September 2022, and in it says, landscape committee reviewed your request. And they said, after discussion, we denied the request, pending further review to determine if the problem can be resolved by lifting the walk in the area indicated. Okay, this was roughly 2 months after they did that. So, number one, go ahead.
It couldn't have been Labor Day weekend.
Well, it was close. I mean, it was before this because I filed the request after you fell.
Right.
Okay, so here's a copy of the request, the denial. So I met with the landscape committee once after I got that, and I suggested to them that, you know, the work was already done. The sidewalks were balanced, I guess. Please readdress that because you've taken out trees throughout the whole Mount Foxborough area and taken them out for that reason. Okay? So they came back and I said, we got another problem on top of that. Again, you're not looking at my pictures, but you'll notice, excuse me, man, you'll notice that this tree right here is over sewer lines, water lines, and power lines. It's elevated because it has no place else to go other than up now. And with the root barriers that are placed in there, as Mark indicated in one of his notes, these things, the trees start to grow downward. So the roots go downward. So my concern is I'm at risk, and so is my roof mate, that we're going to have damaged sewer lines, water lines, power lines as a result of this tree staying here. And again, these trees were removed before. In fact, there's a letter here, April 2016, to Carol Tannenbaum. Carol used to be our village rep. And it says to Dear Mr. and Mrs. Tannenbaum, please be advised that there is an oak tree located in a confined area at the end of your driveway between you and your neighbor. The landscape committee and I have agreed that the tree needs to be removed. The association will have the tree removed and the stump ground down and up so the sod can be placed upon it. Unfortunately, there is too small to plant another tree. Now, this is it was taken out by timber tree removal, not by CPM, and it's one of seven trees that were taken out at the same time for that reason. Okay? But I'm still being denied, and I wonder why am I being denied? No idea. So my question is, why am I being denied? The point is, it is a risk to our investment, both my roofmate and I, to have that tree over those items, the utility lines, the sewer pipe. You've already done this throughout the community.
Okay. Yeah, you did say that, Don. I just want to.
I'm repeating myself. Mm-hmm.
No. We got the gist of it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. No. I don't want to shut you. I want to do maybe a point or two, but we're at 4 minutes, so we're a little over.
All right.
I guess everybody has the idea that Don feels that he was erroneously denied the tree removal. Seen the pictures of a tree. I inspected the sidewalk. They did level the sidewalk, and there is no trip hazard presently. Now, that doesn't mean it's not coming back, because we all know that this happens. Everybody knows this. It comes in all neighborhoods. They move, so they may need adjusting. At the present time, there's no trip hazard. At the present time, Don's concern is that the roots may be endangering his sewer line, water line, electric, whatever's under there. My feeling at this point, just personally, is I'd love to know exactly where those lines are. I mean, have you had a survey on them where they come out and spray the ground, Don, and put the flags?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Quite.
And they're right there under
right
the
there.
Okay. Okay.
My attention.
That took care of it. So then that answers my question about that. Now, the only problem is the reason that insurance companies will not insure things like those pipes and those wires, I'm not talking about FPL and that thing you're talking about, our insurance carrier, okay, won't insure those things because they cannot inspect them. They could be good, they could be bad, but without being able to inspect them, you have no, it's a crapshoot. Are they bad? Are they in danger? Are they not in danger? Nobody can answer this unless you get someone with expensive technical equipment to do a sonar check on the ground. Yeah, I'll get to you in a second. Yeah. And the deal is that's where we have the problem. We're being asked, and I'm not saying it's an invalid request. I'm saying we're being asked to remove this tree, and it is a situation where there is suspicion it could be a danger to sewer, water, and electric. And it may be very, very real. I'm not discounting it at all, but by the same token, we don't have any evidence that it is endangering those items. The only way you could do that is if you did the sonar and looked at everything, or dug up the ground. It's a two-part, you know, situation. The only way to solve this. So I'm just giving you what I know and understand because this is my first rodeo on this kind of stuff. So the bottom line is I had a neighbor that had roots go into their sewer line, but it wasn't because of the same situation. It was totally different. But anyway, bottom line is it could cause a problem. We don't know. So Don is asking us to err on the side of safe. We have to make that decision. He's been denied by the landscape committee, and now we have to decide, do we agree with the landscape committee or do we, go with the appeal and decide to remove the tree? That is our situation. So I need the board to give me some discussion first.
I'm ready to discuss. So, what is the laterals under there? Who has ownership to those? Because there is a typically a definite ownership issue. The ones going to the house, where does it pick up? Is that the water meter to the house? That's for water lines. What
meter to the house is yours?
Typically, yeah.
And clean out to this. Usually, it's
right.
Clean out to the street for the sewer.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the electric.
For FPL, same.
And that's bare. That's, I think, at minimum 36 to 48 inch deep, typically.
Right.
So that's and then there's city water lines we talked about. There's irrigation. There's other infrastructure. In there.
But I guess my point is that underneath that tree isn't his responsibility anyway.
It's an association.
It's an association.
Oh, yeah. No. If there was a definite, if he, if we had a picture and said, oh, yeah.
Because I was on the committee that walked around looking at driveways and sidewalks.
Yep.
We wanted to keep as many trees as we could keep because that's the whole ambiance of this community.
Correct.
Is the live oak around it. And quite frankly, they've taken way too many out of that community to begin with. It's kind of barren over there. But his concern is, he's not responsible for those lines underneath the ground anyways, right there.
No.
I haven't replaced them when they broke.
No, you don't.
I do.
That's not your responsibility. It's association.
Oh, really?
Or his...
Yeah.
Can I ask you to have drainage complaints? Because I'm told...
Again...
by sewer...
Okay. Go for it.
The property line delineation would probably delineate responsibility. The tree, the actual tree location, now obviously some of the root system may go on to his own private property. The tree is located on common property. I don't recall specifically right off the top of my head, but I know I've got a file somewhere in the office that delineates responsibility for maintenance of specific lines. I do know the water is... the county is responsible up to the meter, and then from the meter to the house, that is the homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on the sewer, so I don't want to comment on that. But typically, there's delineation by property line.
Yeah.
Wasn't that, Mark, my understanding was the setback from the street. There's a certain setback from the street that the association, center line of street, like 25 feet or something,
yeah,
wherever that falls.
Yeah, and typically it's where your expansion joint is on your driveway.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So it goes that far, because if you have a driveway problem beyond that, it's the owners. In front of that, it becomes association.
Right.
So that would be more or less the line.
Right.
So if the problem with the pipe occurs by the sidewalk, which is well before that, then that would be a community responsibility to do that, as far as I can tell. So anybody else? I mean, Tim.
I'm just sitting here wondering, Don mentioned, Mark mentioned, there's been a lot of trees removed already in Foxborough.
Oh, a bunch.
Yeah.
And what was the cause? What was the justification in general as to why they were removed?
Well, there were primarily the ones, a vast majority of them were located primarily on the cul-de-sac areas. And again, in those areas in particular, due to the circular pattern, the way they were planted, that's where more damage was occurring. And Don is correct that there were some trees that were removed at the cost of the association because they felt that there was no other answer. Each individual case was looked at on an individual basis. We've got it's a big problem. It's going to continue to be a big problem. I've got a large oak that's this big around over in Greenwich that I had another request for removal that the landscape committee is looking at. So they're trying to evaluate each one on an individual basis. But I mean, the whole street, if you can see from Don's pictures there, it's those trees are planted in a very, very confined area. There's many areas where the grass can't even grow because the root structure has just overtaken everything, and it's going to be an ongoing problem. We removed some, I believe, 65 trees as a result of the road work that we had to do. So, we've already had to have a big impact. And I'm also concerned, and Yuri may have more knowledge than this, we have been given permission because of the PUD agreement. We exceeded by a significant number the number of trees required within the PUD agreement. And so we received a letter a long time ago saying, okay, you can take out some trees. That was back in 1996. We received that letter. Since then, a lot of trees have come out, and some of you may not be aware that when someone called the county when we were removing trees in Greenwich and reported us that we were in violation of county code removing trees, I had to dig back into the file to 96. But I'm cautious because I think we are getting probably, if not close or perhaps exceeding what we can legally remove. Without having another evaluation from the county, and they were not very happy with us.
I don't foresee that changing. I don't foresee that changing. They take it very, very
seriously. Yeah.
Okay. My concern is that trees were removed faster. And you're saying because they were on the cul-de-sac.
They were evaluated on an individual basis, and each one may have been different. There may have been some in similar to Don's. I don't know what talking to the committee and looking at each individual case, I can't tell you. But I do know that each one was evaluated individually. And then I think they waited for a group of four or five of them to be done at one time.
Yeah.
So that is true. I know that in some cases, sometimes the homeowner paid. In some cases, the homeowner had offered to pay for the tree removal. So there's some different scenarios that have occurred.
Claire, this came to us because why?
Excuse me?
This came to us because of how it was requested?
Well, the request that came to the Landscape Committee, which we voted on, was the removal of the tree because the sidewalk was lifted.
Okay.
We voted on that because we looked at the sidewalk and we saw that it had been fixed and leveled out. So there was no other request that we were evaluating.
Okay, so you
won't
take for that request.
So we didn't evaluate it on any other issue other than the listing of the sidewalk, and that's why the removal was denied.
Okay. I have mixed emotions on this only because of these other. Go ahead, Patty.
No, I don't mean to. But are you
saying? It's just because these other trees were removed. We're not quite sure why they were removed. And then I don't want to say, okay, we can remove those, or we can't remove this, and it all fell on the same issues.
Yeah. I will speak up, and I am the one that fell there, so I will acknowledge that and own it. It was not pretty. But also I know, and we're all neighbors, we're all friends, so this is a touchy situation, but the sidewalk, where we live on Springfield, you walk up and down the sidewalk, which Melrose do constantly, and even today when I came back, the sidewalk by Don Street is really fairly level. However, where they repaired it earlier last year, because last year after that happened, I became a poster child for fixing sidewalks, and they fixed a number of sidewalks up and down that stretch of street, and some of them are starting to lift again. And, I mean, it's noticeable already, and it's ones that you fixed not that long ago. So I have very mixed emotions on this. I love my trees. It's the reason that I moved to this community was because of the trees. And I like them. I dodged raindrops in them. And right now, I hate to say it, but that sidewalk is okay. But there are ones further up the street that I think are probably in more dire need than that one. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's something that's continually addressed, right?
It's a continual problem, and it's not going to get better.
And it's not for one person. It's going to be for all.
Just so
you're aware, we have generally, now it's been not exactly that schedule, but generally twice a year we go through and we have a device that we lift up sidewalk sections, cut the root system, and drive. It's been a very economical way of approaching that. But Patty is correct that over, 6 months, 7 months, sometimes those things will start. It's just an ongoing maintenance. Now, the driveway aprons, as you all know, we talked about in the budget, that's a whole separate issue. And then it's one of the things that I plan on looking at, but we don't have significant funds to address. And there's some serious ones that we need to address on that going forward.
All right. With that being said, I think we've discussed this pretty good. I need a.
But your biggest concern was just
his plumbing.
The lines.
Not just mine, it's my roommate also.
Okay, but
across
I'm just
the street, you'll notice the tree was gone there because they had that problem.
Okay.
The sewer.
What we're getting at is that that's not a responsibility of individual homeowners. I live in the same area.
Yeah.
So I look at that too. It's, and I.
We're going to check it again, but I.
Yeah, I have to look at the
I've
specifics.
Built enough. Thousands of acres and stuff that's not our responsibility. That's the association. So you're not going to pay for that.
Well, it's not the paying for it. It's the actual, I'm going to say something. It's going to be the pain of having to replace that at any given moment because who knows when that's going to break as a result of the weight, just the sheer weight of the oak on top of it. But my water line, my sewer, and if the sewer backs up, that's going to be a real mess. Both occupants, my roommate and myself. So those are the things to consider. I'm sure I'm not the only one in the community that don't experience that. So
I got to
take the trees down affect all of us.
I think we've kind of run it through, and I've got a call. I don't have the time to continue, so I need something from the board. What do we have in the motion? Do we approve the removal, or do we need to continue with the art, with the landscape?
And we don't have a motion to deny it.
Okay.
Keep the tree.
Okay. Do I have a second motion?
Tim wants to talk.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think we set a dangerous precedent by having an owner, and I'm not saying Don's wrong.
I get it.
He's got legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
But I got 157 people that 152 of them could probably say the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Trees that are a whole lot larger than what he's showing in that picture.
Yeah, it's not a big tree.
That have expressed the same concern. And if we start taking trees out, you know, people are going to come here and say, well, I want mine out too.
Yeah.
The county will come in and
say, you got to plant more trees back.
Yeah, a lot of more
trees. And where
trees.
Are we going to plant?
Yeah, exactly, because that area. Okay, we did this. I need, I have a
motion.
All right, Yuri seconds the motion that we are going to deny the and I need a vote, show of hands. All those in favor? Okay.
Abstain.
You're abstaining? Okay. So we, you're not abstaining?
No,
okay. So we've got six in favor. Okay. All right. Oh, new business. Well, you already did
I don't know if Yuri had anything else you wanted to add.
Screen. We're working on that, right? Yep. The next was the tennis courts, as I did cover that, and the bathrooms, and I did cover that. Finance committee. Okay, members. We have something to approve on members.
Yes.
We do.
We had a previous finance committee. It consisted of Claudia Tracy, Jim Slattery, and John Cox. Claudia and John have both resigned from that committee. Jim Slattery is not sure. But I have resumes for Rick Amon from Brighton, Don Britton from Foxborough, and Tim Myers from Greenwich that all want to be serving on this committee.
I have somebody in Ridgewood that I didn't know they were
it's okay.
Resume in.
Well, that's okay. We can do it again. That's fine, because I'd like to have more volunteers. I'd like to have one from every village, but so far this is all I have. So I would like at this point to have a motion to approve Rick Amon, Don Britton, and Tim Myers to be appointed to the Finance Committee. All motion.
Can I get a second on that?
I'll carry.
Second that. And can I get a show of hands, a vote? All those approve. It's unanimous. Okay, community projects. I'm at a loss. I'm probably stupid, but I'm at a loss. What are we talking
no,
about?
No, I put this on there.
What? Okay, good. It's her. She did it.
Okay. No, I wrote, and actually, I put it on there because of the same thing that we've done tonight. A number of these things we talk about are scattered throughout the agenda with all different types of people, comments, and things like that. And people come to me in the community, and they say these different things. And here are some of the things that we've that people have brought up, and there some of them are in Mark's manager's report. It's like new benches throughout the village. Most of our benches throughout the village and Waterfall and the one in Ridgewood are rusty or listing, and they just need some help. School bus stop for the kids, we've talked about that. Lighted LED message board, we've talked about that. Lighted gate arms.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that came up was chairs in the playground area for parents to sit and watch their children. Additional sports facilities, I put that under disguise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ducking.
Here's one that I've talked with a couple people about is for the future EV charging stations. I mean, that's a...
We need to look at it again.
Something for the future.
Oh, Patty, before, because my mind's old. I discussed this with Yuri. I was cruising, and I saw a cord coming out of a fourplex at Lakemont going across the sidewalk and plugged into a Tesla.
Right.
And I don't have a major problem with that, except if somebody rolls over that, you know, they're walking and their foot rolls on a cord, you know, we got a problem.
Or they trip.
We have a problem. And I feel bad for the person, but I don't know how to solve it unless you can figure that out with charging somehow.
Okay. And then the other one is meeting sharing technology, which came up this week. So my proposal is that I think we should appoint, again, an ad hoc committee or a board member or somebody to evaluate all, and I look at it from a financial viewpoint. We don't have the money for all those things. I mean, we would need to do a lot of research to put in EV charging stations. I've done a little bit. I think there's probably grants. And
yeah, I was going to say there is money available
for
that.
They could be funded. I think it would set our community aside. There aren't that many communities in the state that have done it, but it would really put us a couple of steps into the future.
But there's a lot all around the city, though.
True, but then...
But not for at night for somebody that lives here. That's
right.
Lakemont feels concerned, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're the big...
Lakemont and the Sun Terraces and the Stanford.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I mean, or even if you've got a guest that's coming to your house and they have an EV and they're going to spend the night and they charge the car. I mean, it's the future.
Maybe.
Any place in the garage can already put one in their own.
But I'd rather not to debate whether or not those things are right now, because that's not what I want to do with this, because we'll spend all night on it.
Yeah.
What I would propose.
I have one.
Okay, what I would propose doing is that we appoint a committee or we appoint a person or so that we could evaluate all of these different projects within the community and get some type of a rough value on them so that we can prioritize the things that we need to do. That's all. Because they come, Mark's got some in his report, some come up in other reports. I mean, they're all over the map. So if we could just consolidate these things, that's my point.
I think before the next meeting, we should kind of, you know, maybe we can email her or you, him back. We can kind of hip hop around and get opinions, not have a meeting, but, you know, just hop around with emails and give each other suggestions and see what we come up with.
Or why couldn't we put the person in the community in charge of getting ideas?
We can if we have someone who can, you know, who absolutely wants and has the time to do so and so forth. And a couple of these things I would like to grab back. I really want the gate arms. That, to me, doesn't need a lot of debate. It's not a real expense. It was, what, $1,800 or something like that? It wasn't a big expense, and I think those would be a huge help, very visible to see the gates. Much, much better visibility.
I agree that it's not a huge expense, but I still think all these things need to be prioritized.
Well, I think that one is a small item and could be taken off the list. Let's look at that for next month. Maybe I'll ask to have it on the agenda, and we'll just decide. In the meantime, we can email. We can talk. We can do this.
I think if you
agree with what you're saying
overall and collectively did it, that's better because because you know you may think of gate arms, maybe somebody else thinks that.
Well, they would have to be voted on, obviously. You know, I'm just saying I want to bring it up. I'm not saying I just want to bring it up.
I just think a cohesive. It's Mark and I talked a few, a couple of weeks ago about what our 5-year or 10-year plan for the community is. These are the things that we need to think about for the future, and like. Oddly enough, the old piece of paper that Mark gave me that had something on the back of it was from one of your seminars or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it said one of the most important things you can do is create a 5-year plan for your community. So it's maybe we don't do all of these things this year, but maybe we do some in 24 and 25 and 26.
Yeah.
I just think that it's something that could help us budgetarily, and I think that it's something that could give us priority and give us direction.
Okay. All right. All right, we got that.
We can have an email chain with all of those things and then just keep adding.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everybody have their input. All right, yes.
Can I bring up something new?
Well, we were in new business, so go ahead.
I'm just wondering if we could review. Other communities that I've been in have, like, alternate side of the street parking, one day left, one day right, and going down our street, it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes there's a boat and sometimes there's a car and you've got to wiggle your way to get through. And I'm just concerned about emergency vehicles trying when there's cars on either side of the street and you have very little room to get through. Just maybe if we could look into it. I'm not saying we need to change it, but
I understand what you're saying, and I agree it's a problem. One of the things you'd have to do is now you have to put a lot of parking signs on the street so many feet apart saying this is odd day parking on this side, the other side even. I mean, there's a lot to go into that.
Yeah, usually when you go through the when I go to my brother-in-law's and I go through the gate, they say today is left side of the street parking.
Yeah, and some people don't know their left from their right.
That's
so
true.
We have a problem.
I wear a ribbon.
Oh, okay. All right. We can. It's a meritorious thought. Okay.
In the previous community, you were only allowed to park on the odd side of the street. Period.
And then the people on the odd side are going to get mad because everybody's in front of their house.
No, it's just the way it is.
Well,
because if you
it's a safety issue.
Because if you have to try to thread the needle, sometimes it's not.
Well, no, I agree it's a safety issue, but you're going to have people that are going to be very upset in the odd side of the street.
And it's the rule.
Well, we didn't make that rule yet, so we're going to not go there.
Just don't make
go ahead.
Until we can.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't even
just
have
a thought.
No, I agree with you. It happens all the time, but Neil.
Not on the same topic.
Go ahead.
But as far as signage, it was brought up at my meeting, which I put a couple things in, but it was at the same time when the agenda went out.
Yeah, we're kind of challenged time-wise.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Somebody suggested signage for walking, fishing near the ponds, especially with what happened to that lady in
Pierce. Yeah.
And if there's a possibility, you know, if there's a chance that we could have a disclosure for to eliminate liability in the community so people know don't go near the water in case there's...
Yeah, it's certainly worth exploring somebody to put wordage together.
Is there a master association thing with alligators,
it's already
though,
in
that
place.
They don't remove them?
The 20 feet from the edge of the water up the bank is posted property. No trespass and no fishing signs are already out.
No, but I'm talking about the association. I was here when there was a gator here and talked with the police officers and the natural reserve people.
The Meadows doesn't own this property.
I understand, and that's what they were saying. They said, technically, we can't remove it because the master...
You have to call the master association.
Master association says we can't do it.
Right.
So what do we need to do to say, hey, we want to protect our people. When we see a gator, we can call and have them remove it.
If it's,
it has to be a
determination of whether it's a nuisance, considered a nuisance or not.
And it has to be over a certain size, and it has to have shown some sort of aggression. Otherwise, they won't touch it.
You
better not
feed it. Our master association?
No, the law.
No, they said they'll remove it. If you call, we'll remove them.
Who said this?
When I talked to the fishing game and the police who came for the one gator we had here, they said, we'll do it, but we can't because they won't let us.
They have ownership of they've had some taken out, haven't they?
We've had a lot.
We've had some taken out.
Well, this is something we need to research.
Right.
Okay.
We should look into it for research.
Just to clear the air, we've removed quite a few gators.
Yeah.
But the basic rule is they don't want to remove anything under 4 feet, 4 feet or under.
Right.
Unless it's aggressive.
Right.
And they have to see it.
Yeah.
South Florida Water Management and the the game.
Yeah, you might have seen a bigger one. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Something that happened to me, I saw children with the dog fishing on the pond. And this was the same day that I saw a gator going across the pond, And I called the gate, and I said, I'm concerned because it's like an attraction.
Yeah.
Send somebody or contact one of the people. This was while we still even had the cars running around.
Oh, yeah, then they should
and
have.
And they said, no, we do not take care of that. You have to call the police.
I don't know the rule. Is that the rule?
We have...
You can't call the gate.
No. She's saying, but you have to call the police?
Yeah.
No, call the MDPOA office.
What?
Oh, okay. You have to call the MDPOA office. They'll
maybe
supply you the
put
number.
That in the signage.
It's a,
And
that you call them because they will do something the gate can't. They would have to make the phone call you're making. So you need to call MDPOA main office if you see that and report. But if it's an emergency, if you feel it's emergency, there's always a fail safe, 911.
I called the police.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, and you saw a gator and there's kids there. I agree with you.
Since I was walking.
I get it.
Right there.
I get it.
Do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's frustrating. Yeah, but they can't leave and they have no authority. Yeah, they could, but at the same time, if they get stacked up the gate with six people, the phone call might be 20 minutes later. You're better off calling the MDPOA, or if it's an emergency, call the police. See what they can do for you. Okay, community improvement. Okay, we're
done. Joe, I got one or two more quick things. Sorry.
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So, another thing that was brought up was in regards to roofs.
The who?
The roofs. Of
I already put those complaints in.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in.
Okay.
For the more than two times.
Well, the letters have been sent. They've been, in fact, one should have been done today, I believe.
Okay.
Yes, because I have done it more than once. So and the guy was trying to clean it, but he was doing a lame job, and it was horrible.
What's happened too with the pressure cleaners? Sometimes it takes up to 2 months to be able to even schedule someone. So we send a letter out. And, you know, sometimes they come back, well, I need a little more. I can't get anybody out here.
Well, he was trying to do it himself.
Yeah. For the single family, it's responsible.
It's their responsibility.
Yeah.
And then, well, first of all, if they're multi, they have a metal roof, so it's all over with. But, all right.
Last thing. Got an email in regards to a conversation that a member, actually, they're not even in my community, but I had wrote my email if somebody had an issue. And it was, I guess, in response to how they were kind of talked to by people at the security gate. They somebody called up, and I'm going to just read the email if you don't mind. they had called the gate on February 24th in the morning to advise the gate that a guest was going to come in. When they were, before they answered the phone, the security guard said, "Jesus Christ," in a very anger manner, and then responded, hung up the phone. They had called back, and after a meeting, they decided they parked their car here. Then they went back. They explained the situation to the guard, and the guard responded to them, said, quote, unquote, "Do you live here? Then you should know the rules already," end of quote. I guess it's just basically that, you know.
Do they have a guard name, and do they have any witnesses?
I didn't get that, but they just said that they, you know.
Yeah, it's a hearsay. It's lovely. It's great, but it's a hearsay. Yeah. He said, she said, if they get a name and have a witness to the conversation.
Let me make a comment. You know, I'm associated with MDPOA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the president up there. If I don't know about these situations,
yeah.
I can't fix
it. It just happened.
Look, let me finish. Send me those emails.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have gotten rid of a number of guards
okay.
that weren't doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have put audio in the gates.
Okay.
Okay. So we now record all the conversations of the gate officers.
Okay.
And I get calls about complaints, and people said the gate officers were rude. I'm not defending them,
mm-hmm.
but I go back and listen to the audio, and they're as pleasant as they can be.
Okay.
And a lot of times the residents are talking to them like a dog,
right.
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like they're worthless. So I'm not saying this didn't happen.
Not my email. I just
but
got
I,
interested. In
but I tell you what, I meet with Allied every week,
okay.
every Thursday, and I'll take care of it.
Thanks.
All right, and I just a real quick note, if any of you read the newspaper, we had a newspaper debacle. The young lady that was driving the car, the Kia, gray Kia that was racing around the community by many witnesses, including Neil, and then decided to verbalize in a very profane way to Neil when he decided to tell her she needed to slow down. And I, in turn, tried for hours to get a hold of somebody, and all I got was the Philippines. And I finally got mad, and I called MDPOA and said, "Shut them down. They're not allowed in." Then I got a phone call. Amazing how that happened. And I explained to the supervisor, I said, "Hey, this isn't going to happen. Your driver can't drive recklessly. I've got more than one report," and she was very, very profound and profane to one of our board members. And I tried to rectify this, and I told him, "You can now send somebody else in." So I only restricted it for 2 days, and then they were able to send in somebody else, and I asked for a meeting with this girl, and this young lady next to me will bear me out. I have never had a worse outcome in a meeting with two young people in my life. These two snowflakes thought that we were crazy, and they thought that we were absolutely insane for even questioning them, because it looked like they were speeding, but they weren't. And they never cursed anybody out. And people fix them breakfast and love them. I've yet to find a single person that I've encountered that said these people were great. In fact, a couple of women, one in Foxborough, she sent me an email. I responded immediately with a phone call, and she said, "Oh, I'm glad you got rid of her. She was a nut." So, I mean, the thing is, you know, sometimes these things happen. I was not trying any way to stop the paper, but when they wouldn't respond and this girl's racing around, I'm not going to have any of you in danger. Sorry. My job is to stop it, and I did, and now they know to get somebody else, and they better drive properly, because I have a neighbor that walks at 4:35 in the morning, so I will get the report, and Neil sees them. So we'll get a report if they mess up again. This girl can sit... accused me of being a racist because I was telling her that we weren't going to allow her in, and I was a racist because she's Latino. And I asked her if she could kindly call my Colombian-born wife and explain that to her. And that didn't work. That didn't work well for her, and that was the end of the meeting. And after they got outside, they were cursing us. So, just a side note. Okay, yes, Janet.
So I'm at 5:30 every morning, and I have seen her speeding through Lakemont, but this morning I noticed there was somebody else there. Now a man delivered something.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Was he driving okay?
Yes.
Good.
But I guess that's the
replacement fence?
Yeah, he's looking at the, I've talked to Travis, he's looking at the route. But I have somebody to call now, so if we get to it, I have a guy to call. Okay, the next item here is something that I campaigned on, I talked about, and has been the most profound thing and the most repeated thing to me since I've been in here. There's been a lot of issues, but this one has been the most popular issue that people talk to me about. When I campaigned in Greenwich, I heard it from 60% of the people, and that is our office hours. People are not happy with the fact that they can't come here in the afternoon. I understand the dynamics, what may have caused it at one point or another, but as everybody knows, things change. Monarch's open all day, MDPOA is open all day, all these places are open all day and somehow they get through. And so my thing is, I told everybody that I would bring this to the board. I didn't do it right away because we had so many issues, insurance, bathrooms, all this other stuff, but it is time to address this. And what I'm proposing and asking for both from the board is that the office windows are open from 8 to 12, 1 to 4, and phones will be answered during those hours. They could close at 12 to 1 and then close down at 4 so they can finish up whatever details before 4:30 when they go home.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
What took you so long?
All right. Discussion.
Any discussion?
I'm just going to throw it out. I like what this is because I've had those same complaints. It's just that lunch hour, I've had a couple of people say that's when they need to come here, when they can get off work at lunch and come here.
Baby steps.
So I'm just throwing it out there, right?
Baby steps.
Gotcha.
Baby steps.
Maybe one day, some point, we
right,
can one day it's open at lunch.
I've also thought of other things, but we have so many things on our plate, but maybe one day we could have some way of having a 9 to 12 on Saturday or something, but I'm not throwing that in the mix as something that's going to happen. I'm saying we're thinking. We're always thinking. I don't want to be the one to say we're going to do this, you know, a dozen things. This one thing I did promise I would bring to the board. We have a first, a motion, and a second. I need a vote. All those in favor? And we have unanimous. Okay, so that will be effective immediately. And
can I just, I'd just like to express that I have spoken, the board, most of you are aware, I do have some concerns with regard to this. I'm willing to, obviously I work at the direction and behest of the board, and so I will do as the board wishes. My only concern, and then Joe had volunteered that he would certainly look at any kind of, if we don't try it, then we can't find out whether or not it works or not. So I'm willing to go forward with that. My concerns are there isn't a significant amount of work that we do. I'm the type of person that focuses with alone time. And I know that some of the girls sometimes working in the office, it's easier to have concentration time and focus time rather than have constant interruptions during the day. And that's why it was set up in this fashion. And we've always made accommodations for people that could not make it during those hours. But I do understand, I've heard some of these comments as well. I'm certainly, and I know I've spoken to both Jennifer and Lois, and they are agreeable to work in that direction. But I did want to at least let you know that I do have some concerns with respect to that, and I do work at the behest of the board. So.
Okay, and like you said, Mark and I did have the conversations, and I respect that, but I said if we don't at least try it, we don't have the people's ability to see how it works, and then we can readdress it. Yes, ma'am?
To kind of piggyback off of what Mark said, because I have worked as a property manager. I manage a very small community, and I know the work that goes into it, and having you need that downtime that you can focus. It's a very detailed thing that you're dealing with. You're dealing with money, you're dealing with fines, you're dealing with a number of different things in this office. In addition to that, my question is this. We're looking at 8 to 12, 1 to 4. So if someone can't make it in between 8 and 12, why would they make it in at 1 to 4? Because most people are working like 8 to 5, right? So to me, I'm wondering if there's been any studies done
Or did we really talk to people? How often do they need to come to the office? How often have people not been accommodated? Because I know these ladies will accommodate anybody that calls them up and says, I can't get there until such and such a time, and they will accommodate them.
Well, yeah, well, I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying. I'll tell you the same thing I told Mark.
Mm-hmm.
We're going down this path. We voted. It's going to happen, and we'll see how it works out.
Okay.
If you don't try something, you cannot possibly get verification or results. You can talk about baking a cake, but if you don't get the mix out and do something, you'll never know. So we're going to do this. We've already voted. It will happen. We'll see how it works out. And if there's some overwhelming thing that happens, we can readdress it. But at this point, I mean, if Monarch can do it, MDPOA can do it, and all of these other communities that have full-time staff can do it, then we have a great staff. I have confidence in them that they're amazing. I deal with them all the time. And I know they're very good, and they hit the ground running, and I barely get a sentence out, and Lois is showing me what I need to see. I mean, it's like that. I mean, they're really sharp. I kind of think there's a thought that there's going to be 40 or 50 people out here all day long. I don't think that's the case. And the reason 1 to 4 is added is because people, for whatever reason, get tied up. Oh, darn, I wanted to go to the office. Oh, it's closed. So now this takes that out of the equation. I mean, yeah, I'd like to say it's open from 8 to 7. Point is, that's not practical. So we're going to do the best we can with what we're doing. And it is something that I think every single board member has heard in their time. So we have done it. This is where it is. We have another item, I think, that somebody wants to speak to. I believe that you, young lady. Procedure manuals.
First of all, I want to thank Ida and her team.
Oh, yes.
What an outstanding job of doing the team.
Excellent job.
I'll make sure the team knows.
Yeah, please. Sorry, I should have said that, but that's why they're here, because I get stupid at times. I know that. No, excellent, Ida. That was a beautiful event. So glad. Glad we had the bathrooms open. Everything, super job, super job.
Okay.
Food was great, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Procedure manual. Procedure manual is in most companies, and what it says, there's a job description, and then there's a procedure manual. And the procedure manual is put in place just in case someone's not there, you need coverage, you go to, and help. And I am suggesting that we have one for our office because of this. It's just like preparing for a hurricane. If Mark, let's just say Mark, out on vacation. Lois is sick. That leaves one. How many times has this happened? Probably minimal. I mean, maybe never. But I want something in place that we could at least step in and try to keep this business running. It's our obligation to keep this office running. And it's, you know, I know that Jennifer has a manual or procedure manual already. She has shown it to me. It's very good. And that's what I like to have a motion on.
Oh, you're looking for
motion.
Okay.
Well,
motion to create.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I know Mark wanted to say something on this. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We have in place. Well, first of all, my contract is very specific, and it gives what my responsibilities are and procedures. All of us are sort of cross-trained. A procedure manual is a little bit difficult to create. We can create procedures for certain aspects of what we do, real estate transactions,
so
on.
Yeah, that's it.
But there are so many things that go on in the day-to-day that are unimaginable. There's no way you could even describe those type of things. So generally speaking, we have a list of duties and responsibilities that we've created for that primarily Lois takes care of, and then we've got a list of duties and responsibilities that Jennifer and myself, and then we all have a sort of a level of cross-training on it. We have that already prepared. If that's what you're looking for, I can certainly get you a copy of that.
I'm sorry,
and if there are certain specific procedures, like, you know, this is how you decal a vehicle, I'm sure we can put something together on that. There's so many different aspects of what we do on a day-to-day basis to be able to prepare a comprehensive manual is going
to
be very...
I'm not asking for a comprehensive manual. I just want to be able to step into this office and look, okay, what is on their daily routine? Where do you call if this happens? That kind of thing, that we can run this office and help run this office. Will that happen? I hope never. But I want to have that ability to complement and be able to that our residents still have our business go forward. So that's all I want.
Okay. Anyway, those are just...
No. I agree with both of you. It'll be a little bit labor intense. I think that we should work on it at this point, and I think that Dee is the ideal person to help with that and get this rolling. It, like she said, if there's a day like Mark's on vacation, all of a sudden Lois was sick or something, and Dee was happy to come in and help out so Jennifer isn't, you know, hiding in the bathroom, the poor thing, then she could sit there and say, okay, well, it's right here. If this happens, I do this, I do that. I can call this something that gives her a chance to help, and we keep things rolling. That's all it
That's
is.
That's all it is.
That's it. It's not nothing trying to replace anybody. We're not getting a self-checkout like Publix. You're losing your job. This is just in case they need help. If they need help, we can help them. I mean, a lot of us are around during the day.
And basic procedures.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. Just to help out. Just to help out.
It's a fundamental procedure manual.
Yeah.
And I know, okay, well, go anywhere near being as perfect as you're doing it.
No.
I'll try.
No, she's got most of it in her head.
I know, she does. Yeah.
But no, and it's amazing what they do. But it's just, if we can give them a hand in a bad spot, she doesn't have to sit there and tell you, here's the book. I need this done. Boom. Page 34. Bingo.
Go ahead.
I don't know whether you're looking for a motion from the board or not for this. But this has been discussed for years.
Back
when I was president, back when Joan Cimarosa was president, people were always concerned about having everything documented. I think that your direction and Joe's direction, you guys should see what they got and see how it should be pulled together.
Yeah, that's right.
And because I know he does have a lot of stuff. I've had copies of it over the years.
It's just like somebody coming into Merrill Lynch and they're going to try to cover for me if I'm not there. If there isn't something, and the rest of the staff is busy, if I don't have something down, what is my daily routine? We're lost and business goes down. It's just to complement and keep our residents that we could go forward.
I don't mean to sound ugly, but this is a management directive from you and you as a board member to see that they put this together. I don't think this, as a board, we've got to have a motion and say that, you know, you will develop our procedures and this is what it's going to look like.
I'll go along with that. I think we need another month to have Dee, myself, Mark, Lois, and everybody talk about it.
Stuff together and see how much you
got. That's fine.
Yeah, we can talk about it, and because it's not something that's going to make life or death, so we'll do it.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I know you do.
Okay.
I know. I got it.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Quick, one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Wait, there's... You have, okay, go first. I've already talked.
I just have a quick one, and it's just to tell Mark. Just real quick for Mark, just to look at this irrigation system and watering the sidewalks at 6 o'clock in the evening when everybody's walking. Just check into it and see what you can do. You don't have to have an answer now. You probably don't, but...
Okay, I have one, but it's probably too lengthy to give it.
Thank you.
One quick one. Okay. No, my point is, do you need this to hear me?
No, just do it anyway. It looks good.
My point is, during COVID, we changed our annual meetings to November because of the COVID schedule. And normally, and by our documents, meetings are supposed to be held after the end of the prior fiscal year. An annual meeting should cover the prior fiscal year. If we hold our meeting in November, we are covering the year that's currently in progress, so we're not covering the prior fiscal year. So I am proposing that we
We don't have our audit back yet, so we can't give an exact date, but that for fiscal 2022, we schedule an annual meeting for the first half of April of this year so that we can actually review fiscal 2022 and get back on track so that our annual meetings are in the first quarter of the year. So I'm making a proposal, and I don't know if I need a motion to do this or not, or just a directive, that we actually have our annual meeting this year in April.
Yeah, you will. And you're actually going into the second quarter of the year in April, January, February, March.
But we don't, but we
no,
won't
I
have
agree
our
with
audit
you.
Back.
No, yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm agreeing 100%. I'm just saying it's really the second quarter in April.
Yeah, and we don't have enough time to get the notice out at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then I do need a motion that we're going to have an annual meeting in the early part of April, date to be determined.
I don't think you need a motion for that.
No?
We just set the date and then...
Just set the date.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
once we figure out what's
available. But
there's
no opposition.
How did
we
change
the
it to
back?
November? It was just a statement?
That was
a different story.
Yeah, it was COVID.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if they didn't need a motion then, we don't now.
No.
But if they did then, we do now. So we didn't then? It just kind of happened?
Just,
I don't know.
I think
okay, all right. Well, then just be apprised. I learned something. Be apprised that we're going to have an annual meeting in April so we can get back on schedule.
19th or 20th.
Yeah.
Looks like a good week.
Of
April.
All right, well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We all have to look at our schedules and see
so
what's
we'll
going on, but we'll get to it. In April, there'll be announcement. We have a little time. We'll
One's
announce
Wednesday,
that.
19th is Wednesday, 20th is Thursday.
Okay. All right, okay.
You're the one that has to schedule with your
facility. Okay, okay.
That's
what Yeah, I do. I have to schedule it. We don't have it at the church because we have the room there to have it, 100 plus people. So, okay. All right, we have some appointments, apparently. Covenants, Rowena Wolf of Mayflower of Lakemont, alternate village representatives need alternatives for Brighton, Greenwich, Lakemont, Mayflower. What is this? I'm a little...
I think you just have to approve the covenant appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Rowena Wolf was already approved last month. It's just Wendy Weber is moving into.
All right, so we're just approving. We need to approve.
I'll motion
this.
To approve it.
Okay.
A second.
Vote to approve her
into
the covenants. I approve. Okay, landscape.
I'll vote.
Appoint. Smart Alec. Appoint Rod Heller.
I second. I motion it.
Confusing. Who was first? Hold on. Rose needs the vote.
I'll first.
I'm second.
Yours first. Patty second. All in favor. It's unanimous.
Yeah, he raised his hand the first time.
Okay, did. Okay. Committee reports enclosed. Architectural review. Do we need any of this?
We're all good.
Okay. All right, you guys, you have been talking because I always do that. I need you, and I will, the phone. But is anybody in the audience left with a statement yet, or can I go to the phones? Okay, we're not seeing any hands. Okay, people at home, do you have any questions or comments? You're still on?
Yeah.
Okay, anybody at home have any questions or comments?
Why are you breaking my phone? Did we mute them?
I didn't. We didn't. We never touched it. She turned it on. I've never touched it.
There were people on there.
Yeah, I heard people, but I don't. Is there anybody there that would like to speak? All right, with that.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Yuri's motion to adjourn. Neil the second. All those in favor. Unanimously. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. You are a great group of people. I want this group to come back. Adjourned.
I'll give you my
guy. Thanks. Get out for it. Yeah. Neil, we got the vote for the pick of price.
I forgot about that. Yeah, getting the meeting. Yeah, we'll look at those dates.
I didn't think you were.